you explain again the process of cheetahs in the sense door process, going to, before it goes to the mind door, that even though there's one rupa, it has
one rupa
for the 17 cheetahs, that this cheetah is experiencing the same rupa but in different bases before it goes
to the mind door.
Could you just say a little bit more about that?
Yes.
How long a group of rupa lasts? See, we have to know that citta arises and falls away faster than rupa. But one rupa or one group of rupa lasts for 17 moments of citta. It means that citta arises and falls away 17 times, and then a group of rupa pass away.
You say a group?
Yeah, because rupa cannot just arise one kind at a time. Okay. For instance, the primary rupa, the patuvi, vayu, tejo, apo, they have to arise together. Nothing just can arise singly by itself. Citta needs cetasikas as it's the conditions to arise too. So we have to understand that all realities arise and fall away so fast, but the rupa stays longer than citta. But it's quite short. Between moments of seeing and hearing right now, they seem arise together simultaneously, but actually the rupa, 17 moments of citta, has completely fallen away. That's why any rupa which awareness is not aware of cannot be object of right understanding. Only that which awareness is aware can be object for sati and panya to really understand its nature as that particular rupa. So we can see that even right now, when we think that we are sitting, actually nothing, because at moment of seeing, there is no other thing at all. Just that which appears at the moment of seeing is only visible object. So where's all the head to toe rupa? No, we just think that it's still there, but actually, nothing can stay like that. It arises and falls away so fast, unknowingly, like the rupa between the seeing and the hearing. No matter how many groups has arisen by different conditions, they're all gone because of they cannot last more than that. But we think that all rupas arise and never fall away at all. But actually, everything is like that, never stay like we think. So when we talk about any kind of rupa, no matter here or what we take for body and what we take for tree or even table or a mountain, there must be spaces in between each group of rupa. So we can destroy any rupa into quite a very small particle.
And what fills those spaces? The Vanga
cheetah? No, it doesn't have to do with citta yet. We talk about different realities. When we talk about rupa, we just talk about rupa. Nothing to do. Like in the sea, on the mountain, in the other star or world, see? We just talk about reality. It cannot be experienced or known that there it is when there is no element which can experience it. That's why they're quite different, never the same. Even there is no experiencing at all, but it's there by conditions. But who knows, when citta does not arise, it seems that no one knows what's going on at all. So when we talk about the moment of seeing visible object right now, the hardness cannot be seen at all. Only one kind of rupa out of 28 types of rupa can be seen. And that is now when it's appearing. We don't have to call it anything at all. We don't have to think whether it's Tatu or whatever is classified in Tipitaka, because now it is seen. So we don't have to think about the word, about that which is seen as visible object or color or anything. Just that which is not appear to seeing. And the visible object also lasts for 17 times, no matter what reality, which is the corporeality or rupa, is that only 17 times arise and fall away. So now, when one at moment of being fast asleep, what appears? Who are you? Where are you? How many friends do you have? How much you know about Dharma? While one is fast asleep? See, different moment. But then a reality appears. How come? Like sound. It seems so natural, but actually sound arises by conditions. But if hearing does not arise, sound cannot appear. See? And this is the world. This is what we don't know and take realities for me or my or self all the time. But actually it's one moment of experiencing an object, depending on the particular jittas at that moment, whether it is that which does not hear, which does not see, does not experience any object through the six doorways at all, and that is pavanga. Nothing appear. And pavanga follow patisanti, birth moment. That moment cannot be known either, because it does not see, it does not hear. How can they do anything about this world? But it's the first moment of life, which can be just one moment only in one's life. And after that, when it has fallen away, the pavanga keeps on going by kamma. No one can do anything. When we talk about dharmas, they are all tattu elements. Who can order element to do this or that, to arise or not to pass away? So patisanti citta arise, and after patisanti citta has fallen away, life has to go on and on and on and on, from one moment to another moment, unexpectedly, unknowingly. But there are citta and cetasika, which is conditioned by the preceding one. Like patisanti citta passed away, and it conditioned the next moment, which does perform the function of continuing from death moment, but it continues from the first patisanti citta moment. And so many innumerable number of pavanga we don't know, because at that time who knows, because nothing appears at all. But then sound appears, see? So we understand the term of ayatana. Without the ear sense or the ear base, how can the sound appear, see? So what in Sipitaka comes from understanding of the realities of nama and rupa. Otherwise, if we don't understand what reality is, whether it's nama, that which experiences, or that which cannot experience at all, how can we understand what is meant by ayatana? It's just name. But at moment of pavanga, nothing appear yet, but then sound appear. So sound is the meeting point or meeting moment with the arising and the ear base, which both of them do not pass away yet. Only very, very short, 17 moments of citta. How short it is. But karma condition, hearing to arise, see, unexpectedly. Some hear and some does not hear at all by karma. So hearing does not belong to anyone. It depends on the individual's karma. To hear or not to hear, to see or not to see. These are the result of karmas through seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, five doorways. But after that, it depends on the accumulation of each individual, whether that is kusala or akusala. While the rupa hasn't passed away yet, see, in split seconds, how many moments passed? because for Wangka, and then that one which the sound contact or impinged on the ear base, one moment, and the Pawangka Jalana, second, Pawangka Upacheta, third, and then there must be adverting consciousness, because hearing just cannot arise by itself. There must be Kiriya Chitta. By Chati, it's not Kusala, it's not Akusala, it's not Vipaka either. It just arises by condition to perform the function that it can experience any object which impinged on any doorway, no matter its eyes or ears, base or nose, tongue. See? One moment. And after that, there can be seeing or hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. And after that, Kusala and Akusala cannot arise yet. There must be the receiving consciousness, Sampatichanna, which Kun John, you asked about Atimokha Jetasika yesterday. And Atimokha does not arise with the 10 citta, which is which are seeing, hearing, smelling, and so forth, because there are only 7 Jetasikas with the 10 Vipaka citta through which are seeing, hearing, smelling, and tasting. So we can see that it's conditioned to just see, nothing more than that. It cannot know, it cannot like or dislike, it just see with 7 Jetasikas, without Atimokha. After that, the following citta has more than 7 Jetasika, because it's not the seeing itself which just see, but it receives the object. The object passes through the next moment of citta. The first one after the seeing is the sampatichanna, the receiving consciousness. That is Atimokha after that. So we cannot tell the citta which follows one another how many jetasikas are there in each one, only by the Buddha himself, which knows exactly, thoroughly, completely about realities by different paccaya conditions of each jetasika, because jetasikas are different, so there are different conditions for a moment of citta to arise. And after that, after sampatichanna, that is santirana, and after that, that is bodhapanna, and after that, chavana 7 times. And if the rupa hasn't fallen away yet, it can condition the tarampana, which are also vipaka. That's all. And then the rupa passes away in 17 moments of citta. At this moment, at this very moment.
So
no self.
So when it goes into the mind, or what?
After this, there must be Pawangka. It cannot go right straight to mind or process, because after the rupa has passed away, the next moment has to be Pawangka, life continue on. And then Manotuvara Vachana, the mind or the adverting mind or process arise.
What is the rupa that's going through the mind or?
It's like the echo, the sign with the stamp, you stamp on a paper and then you see what's there, exactly the same like that. Which, yeah.
But it's not the same rupa that runs
through
the sense door.
But you cannot distinguish them at all, so fast and exactly the same. That's why the mind can experience anything after the sense door. Mm-hmm. It has to, by conditions.
Is that, you said echo, is that nitya?
Yes. Whatever is not the one which arises and falls away must be nimitta. The succession of the arising and falling away is there. Like now, see, everything we study is now. Otherwise, how can we understand this moment as not self?
Nina mentioned that in the Thai discussion, you were talking about wasted opportunities. Would you say something about wasted opportunities?
Avijja, not knowing and not understanding reality, just live and cling to whatever you take for real and something very important, but actually where are those things that you cling too much in your life? They are gone. Even tonight.
Back to the sense door process. did I understand correctly, Ajahn, that in the sense door process, in the cheetahs that arise, there are only 7 jhana seekers that arise?
Only with seeing.
Only with seeing.
Yes.
But with hearing.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. These 10, kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka, have only 7 jhana seekers. Not more.
Not more.
Yeah. But the others, yes, more. Okay. It needs more jhana seekers to arise. Yeah. Yeah. That's why Sampatichanna, the receiving consciousness, it doesn't see. How can it experience visible object which the seeing sees? Because it has vitakka cetasika and other cetasika too.
A related question from the breakfast discussion. You've explained how this is all by conditions that different objects are heard, but it seems that we can choose to experience particular objects. For example, if we want to listen to music, we turn on the radio and so forth. So it seems there is choice in the matter as regarding the nature of the experience. Could you say something?
I would like to have the bank of fruit now. Could you bring me?
You have to be reasonable. don't set your expectations too high, but as long as you expect within reason, can be achieved.
Because you don't know what condition a moment. You think that there is I all the time who can do this or that, like I can see, I can hear. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you come to understand the element itself, mm-hmm, how it arises, mm-hmm, it has to depend on its own conditions, not you, because there is no you. If there is you, then okay, you can condition that, but there is no you at all.
Like my old question, who's doing the choosing?
When you listen to music, though, other thoughts arise even while your music is on. At least for me, I know other things float into my head, even though I tell myself I'm listening to music, but other things are constantly arising.
But as regards who's doing the choosing, it doesn't matter
who.
The fact is that there appears to be choosing.
But then isn't that Nichiriti?
No, the Chetashika, the Chita and Chetashika.
Right. But I'm just saying the appearance is.
Oh, sure, that it appears that way.
Choosing.
It appears that there's a body, it appears that it's real.
But, Jonathan, can you find me a self?
No.
So who choose?
There is no self.
So who choose?
There is no who chooses.
There is thinking.
Right.
Okay. Which can think of anything, but it depends on whether there are conditions enough to condition what you think about or not.
Right. So it's only
thinking,
and thinking that there can be choosing.
No. You think that you choose to think, right?
The conditions are that you think of music.
Perhaps an example that is arising for me is, yes, last night I wanted to remember being at the Grove, but the strongest memory was actually just the feeling of walking on the path. And that's not really what I wanted to remember. I wanted to remember things that have been said and that, but that's so it was like couldn't help. That was what came up. So that seemed like a good example of just at that conventional level of wanting to recall a certain thing, not possible. Well, not yes. And then I wondered, why would that memory have been stronger?
Can you choose?
Well, no. But of all the, I suppose the question is, why do some things seem to
be the choice?
To be strong, to be weak.
Mm-hmm. And we can't know conditions, really. Too many conditions.
Couldn't you choose to have that glass of water now? It's there in front of you. Couldn't you?
If there is the self or the I, then that can. But if there is no self, no I, each moment is conditioned to arise.
So even the wish to reach out, is that what you're saying? Even I just sometimes I find it difficult to sort conventional from ultimate sort of way that people talk.
Do you drink water if you're not thirsty?
No, but if I was thirsty, I could choose to go.
And why were you thirsty?
Yeah, I understand. I understand that. I understand that. But,
yeah, so
but,
it's conditioned.
But it's not that I can't reach out and steal Ajahn's glass of water if I was really thirsty. But there is that little, seems to me there is that space. That
if you're ability. Thirsty, you can choose to have a drink. Don't ask, why are you thirsty?
That's
not
really.
Would you
like
to choose to be thirsty?
I wouldn't like to choose to be thirsty.
How come thirsty?
I don't have any attachment to being thirsty. So I wouldn't want to choose to be thirsty.
Thirst arises from conditions. Physical conditions.
But the ability to reach that glass of water is here. It's a choice. It seems to me that I wouldn't do it because it would be embarrassing socially to steal Ajahn's water. But it's
well, there. Yes, well, you said initially that Ajahn could reach out and choose to drink the glass of water.
If she wished.
If she wished.
You don't have to be thirsty to drink. No. You could.
So there is always I who can do anything. I can see, I can hear, I can think. Can I be Kusla? Can I understand reality?
This is a very good reminder what you say, that each moment is conditioned. This is a very good reminder.
I hear a lot of people make that comment, you know, that I can reach up and grab that. But there's so many actual conditions that determine if you can reach out and actually grab that.
Like, what are those conditions?
Well, I mean, there are physical limits. Some people have physical limitations that actually, and there are so many things that you see people that have a stroke and lost their ability to even, you know, speak or to do something they were always able to do.
I couldn't reach out and grab that.
But that was because the conditions were right for you to, everything was in place for that to happen.
I wouldn't think to do it if I had no arms. I mean, I understand that was beyond my capability, but I can choose to reach.
Actually, people do. People with quadriplegics and people
like that.
I know. They do. They actually do.
But the point is that at that moment of thinking, the thinking like that is conditioned, and it's the thinking which thinks that it's me all the time that does this, that reaches out. But actually, where or what is this me that can do anything? It's just different moments of thinking, different cheetahs involved in the process, which are all conditioned, that's all.
And it's so helpful to be reminded of, you know, if we can choose, let's choose to understand. And
it seems
is that
to me
possible?
There's a narrow range of choice within.
Can we choose to understand?
No, we can't choose to understand, but that's sort of beyond. That's a larger, more difficult thing. But there is. I can pat John's knee. Karma doesn't seem very fair.
What is choice?
to think of something and be able to do it.
A kind of reality, there must be citta and cetasikas. That's all. What do you take for choice? Arising and falling away completely each moment.
I just find it difficult to understand kusala, vipaka, if you had no choice,
the understanding is not self either. It arises and falls away to everything. So which one is choice? We have to know. The rupa doesn't have any choice, but that which thinks, that which knows, that which experiences, think about doing something. And it depends on whether it will condition rupa to move or not, or it just think.
In the moment, there's so many conditions. If you see a flame, you can choose not to put your finger in it, or you can put your finger in it, right? But there's so many conditions, not just, oh, it's hot, because you don't feel it hot. You don't see heat. So all of these accumulated things can manifest, and you can't know the level of those things. So that's, we think it's self, but it's really thousands and thousands and millions of conditions in our lives that...
Now you mentioned vipaka in connection with this topic. I think you said that it seems vipaka is not fair, or kama vipaka is not fair, but I think vipaka has a role to play, doesn't it? In whether we experience particular things, for example, if the object, desired object, is pleasant, but we may receive agusala vipaka.
That's why we have to know what citta is vipaka. It cannot be changed. For example, seeing is vipaka, hearing is vipaka, and the cittas which follow are vipaka, like sampatichanna santirana. But javana is not vipaka. Kusala, agusala are not vipaka.
So we can't decide to get what we like. That's determined by karma.
Again, walking back to the bus from the Grove and without shoes, and I was looking for a smooth part. And
the bus was strategically parked amongst a pebble.
And it was not possible. It was all... I couldn't change. It was not possible for the road to be different. For that particular gamma was that this was a bit painful. Couldn't change it.
The vipaka was painful.
The bodily feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Body consciousness. And that's maybe a good example of not being able to choose, because I was wanting to choose something smooth, but no
sense. John, nip up to the bus and get my shoes, dear, please.
John, carry me.
No, it just seemed like a good example.
Yes.
Just on the sense door process, another question that came up during discussion at breakfast or sometime was the usefulness of knowing about the details about the sense door process and how many moments and what order and so forth. Could you say a few words about that?
That's what we talk about, the pavanga and the adverting consciousness and the seeing. Sampatichanna santirana uttapana ajavana uttalampana, that's all.
Why is this information useful for us to have?
To know that there is no self at all, each moment. Otherwise it's useless to talk about at all.
So just to take that a bit further, it's not something that...
To be sure, to be firm, that there's no self, the more one understands the citta and cetasikas and rupa, they're all dhammas.
But these are not details that we can know directly by experience.
It depends on one's ability and accumulation. Who's who?
Right. Well, speaking for myself,
no one knows except you. Yeah. Because you see that each reality in each moment is different from the previous one for sure. Never be the same. So it's conditioned by its own condition. Like visible object. Even visible object is different from moment to moment.
And we have no idea what the next moment this will object will be.
We think that they are the same.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or there's continuity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even thinking is different. Everything is different. From moment to moment.
So just as we were saying in Agra, that what has fallen away is gone forever. And
never
so in
back.
The same sense, what is to come is completely unknown and
mm-hmm.
unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Although Christine would say there is a certain predictability which shows, well, doesn't necessarily show anything, but there is a certain predictability, appearance of predictability.
What's the next moment?
May I know? Can you tell me what my next moment is?
No, I can't tell you what your next moment is, but I think it's a good guess to feel we'll still be sitting here for an hour or so. That's not the next moment, of course. No?
I was coughing, and I didn't know, and it was painful, but there was Sarah helping me with some medicine. So I didn't predict anything, because anything can happen anytime, what the physician always says. You never know. And I had pain in the feet when walking around, but I had such a help. Someone supported me so I could step. But I didn't know beforehand because Lorik wasn't coming. I was alone. But I had help anyway.
She had past good deeds. Yes. She didn't have.
That's right. Clearly.
Yeah. And I thought I couldn't sit on the floor for 1.5 hour, 2.5 hour. But I could when I was listening to the Dhamma. But I didn't know beforehand.
And just on a conventional level, isn't that what accidents are about? That out of the blue, you know, people are sitting in a room enjoying themselves and a plane crashes into the building. So, no, but accidents happen all the time and they are, you know, we say, isn't this terrible and that, but it's really just different conditions. They can't be predicted.
Most meetings that start to have a discussion go through a formal process and end. They don't have a plane crashing into them.
But in the course of the meeting, think of all the different thoughts or things that arise while you're sitting there. You may intend that you're going to pay 110% attention to Ajahn, but all of a sudden a bird will chirp and you will look out the window. You didn't plan to look out the window, but those conditions just pull you away, and we think it was control. We may even thought we paid attention, but our mind wanders.
The three Vibhanga cheetahs that arise before it goes to the Pancha Dharadrana cheetah, those are Vibhanga cheetahs. Are those Kusla cheetahs? Vipaka. Those are Vipaka as well.
Yeah.
Then it goes to Kiriya cheetah and then Vipaka cheetah. The Panchadharva Jhana cheetah is a Kiriya cheetah, and then it's a
Vipaka.
So the three Vibhanga cheetahs are Vipaka.
All Vipaka. All Vibhanga must be Vipaka, conditioned by Kama.
Yeah, the same as the rebirth consciousness, same type, same object.
And the death consciousness also.
Many times they talk about cheetah being Kusala, Akusala, or Vipaka. But you have Kusala. You have Kusala Vipaka and Akusala Vipaka. Why don't they talk about, you know, they seem to lump Vipaka together, even though there's two styles. Is there a reason that they talk about
Since there are two causes, so there must be two kinds of vipaka, kusala vipaka, right, and avisala vipaka.
But in the writings, it seems like they talk about...
includes.
Vipaka as one, even though we know there are two.
I see. You mean that why there are two kinds of vipaka, but we just use vipaka?
Yes.
Okay. Because they are vipaka.
Oh, <okay. laughs>
Because you see that kusala and akusala citta are quite various, different, like on dana, on sila, on bhavana, or on different akusala kama, akusala thinking. But vipaka, it has to arise only this function, like patisanti citta, must be vipaka, pavanka vipaka, and seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, that's all. See? And the talampana in details. That's all.
Kusala or akusala.
Right.
But the kusala or akusala just refers to the fact that it is conditioned by kusala karma or akusala karma, but it's only vipaka.
It's vipaka, so it's... Yeah.
Conditioned by kusala
or
akusala. It's what kind of vipaka, conditioned by what?
It's only result, nothing more, and not all that important.
No, it was just. It
just happens.
What you say, it's not all that important.
It's not a big bring, no further result, so that's it. It's done. It's done.
Like
it's
gone.
It's gone.
Like seeing at this moment, whether it's kusala or kusala vipaka, it's just a moment of seeing, but whether it's panya or attachment that follows is significant because that is what conditions karma and future. I have a question about right thought, samasankappa, which is also vitakka cetasika. Now we know that samasankappa is the second factor of the Eightfold Path, but in the suttas we read many references to right thought, samasankappa, and sometimes it's not clear for me whether it's talking generally about any kind of wholesome thinking in general or whether it's specifically to samasankappa of the mundane path. For example, if we read in a sutta that what is right thought that has fermentation, sides of merits and results and acquisitions, thought on renunciation, on freedom from ill will, on harmlessness, this is right thought that has fermentations. When we read about thought on renunciation, on freedom from ill will, on harmlessness under samasankappa, is it referring to it more generally or is it particularly just referring to the mundane Eightfold Path?
I think that the term is Pali word that they use in the time of Buddha, that those times. But you see that if I would use Thai language, I can use in ordinary daily life, and when it has another meaning, do I have to coin up another word or just use the same word with different meaning?
So in this context, it's referring to right thinking generally, like we might use it in ordinary language. Yeah. It's not particularly referring to samasankappa vitakka cetasika here. Okay, so samasankappa doesn't always refer to just vitakka cetasika, but more generally.
Yes, it has to be vitakka cetasika, but it depends on whether it's daily samasankappa.
Right thinking generally, or daily samasankappa, or samasankappa of the Eightfold Path.
Like now, can we say vitakka is samasankappa? See?
Yes.
Right or wrong, it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of vitakka cetasika at that moment, whether it's kusala or akusala.
So any time it's kusala, then it's samasankappa.
Another word.
Another word.
What do you think about nama more subtle than rupa? Yesterday we had that in the Thai discussion, that it seems that rupa appears more easily than nama because nama is more subtle. That nama is more subtle than rupa.
Yes.
So we ask Ajahn Sochen to explain in Thai.
It doesn't matter how it's subtle or not subtle, but nama is not rupa. Mm. And there can be the not subtle one and the subtle one, both nama and rupa. For example, that which can be seen is not as subtle as rupa, which cannot be seen. It has to be experienced through mind or only. But anyway, this nama is pure mental element.
Yeah. But it's harder to understand nama.
It needs the groundwork to really understand it. Even now, it sees, it thinks, mm-hmm. it likes, it dislikes.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I wonder about the usefulness of determining which is harder to develop. Mm-hmm. They're just whatever develops.
Can you even know now? Oh, what can we know now? See.
One can know what there are conditions and accumulations to
make. For example, does anyone attend to the visible object as it is, as no self, no being in it yet?
Well,
subtle or not subtle?
So eyes, it's very hard because the thinking follows.
Seen, see?
Yeah.
And it's not the subtle rupa at all because it can be seen.
Yeah.
But still, there's always idea of someone in it. But actually, it's just pure whisper object. No one can be in that 17 moments rupa.
No, it seems because our eyes are open and all the time they're seeing, but which in fact is not. It seems to last. A visible object seems to last. And we have these ideas of seeing people.
That's why it's not the matter of whether it's subtle or not, but it's the matter of study and begin to understand reality as it is.
Yeah. But someone told me he finds the word study very difficult. What is meant by it, it's not study by books, but the word study, whether it's clear.
Sati and panya.
Yeah. But is it a good word to use?
Otherwise, how can panya grow?
Yeah, investigation or...
It doesn't matter what word you use or anyone use, but it's the development of sankhara khanda.
Yeah.
Okay. Or jetasikas, which arise at this moment.
When we use the word study or develop, it sounds like there's a choice. It sounds like we're being told, do that. How does that go with there being no choice?
Because they are citta, cetasika, rupa.
I don't understand.
Citta, that which experiences an object, cetasika, mental factors arising with citta.
So it's just
all three kinds of absolute realities.
But when we study, or it's just be aware.
The rupa cannot study anything.
But it seems like it's...
And study means whatever one is doing which will condition right understanding or understanding of any subject.
Maintaining awareness.
It depends.
Present.
When you study arts, kusala citta or akusala citta. Medicine, kusala citta or akusala.
But when we are beginning to study, it will be with thinking and considering.
It doesn't matter at all. No one can control. No one can control.
Yeah. But pariyatti has to be study of the present object as much as possible.
To know that what one is learning about must be realities right now.
Yeah.
But it depends whether sati arises or not.
Yeah.
If sati does not arise yet, without the studying of it.
So a visible object, you talk about visible object and we know it's appearing, so we consider more. Is it appearing?
No
so
control.
Us?
No control. Yeah. The more you hear, the more that's time or condition to just a fast moment of knowing or remembering that it's only a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and it needs more than a million times to understand visible object as it is.
So we need to remind us all the time. Otherwise they forget.
To understand and understand until it's there with right and direct awareness.
I have a question about the beginning level of Satipatthana. I think long ago I used to understand that the beginning of Satipatthana was understanding reality through different doorways, or if I can just put it this way, separating the doorways. And then later on...
It's not by intention.
Not by intention, no. But anyway, that was what I thought was the beginning level. And so that was knowing visible object, seeing invisible object, hearing and sound and so forth, different doorways and the experiencing and the object that was experienced. And then later on, I came to understand that the beginning of Satipatthana was actually knowing nama from rupa. And it didn't matter which doorway, because all namas have a characteristic in common. And all rupas have a characteristic in common. So it didn't matter if it was sound or visible object, that was rupa.
They are different, but we don't have to name or call them as sound or visible object. Because they are different already by their nature.
No need to say that they are rupa, because visible object is visible object, it cannot be sound. And sound is sound, they are different. Not just thinking that they are rupa. See, since they are different and their characteristics are that which cannot experience anything at all. So, at this very moment, the visible object and sound are different.
But they are both rupa.
We don't have to think about that. When awareness is aware. Yeah.
The beginning of Satipatthana is knowing everything as dhammas, just as a dhamma,
and
by awareness.
When
it appears.
Arises and
when
is aware.
When awareness arises and is aware. Mm-hmm. Only dhammas are realities. Uh-huh. What does it mean to be
they
a dhamma?
They are real.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own characteristics, different from each one.
Their own characteristics means that sound has the characteristic of being experienced, a sound, and visible object has the characteristic of visible object. So can dhammas be known as dhammas without knowing the individual characteristic of the dhamma?
Without any characteristic, how can we know that that is a dhamma?
I'm sorry, without any kind of characteristic.
Yeah, otherwise it's only word that we say everything is Dhamma, but we need to know more.
I think that we learn from book and back, from names, different names as reality, Dhamma and Nama and Rupa. What about learning to understand realities right now? For example, instead of thinking about seeing consciousness, that is seeing right now. And instead of saying that it's Nama, no need, because the moment that one realizes that seeing is real and is that which sees, so one learns to understand the characteristic of nama, because that which sees shows the characteristic of nama, not the rupa. Instead of starting with nama, seeing is nama, and how can I know dhamma, see? But actually there's now seeing, and seeing is that which sees, that which experiences visible object. By understanding this little by little, one can come closer to understanding what nama is, instead of knowing beforehand that it's nama, but how and where to be nama.
But seeing a visible object are so much together all the time. That's why. So we cannot be sure.
No, because you see that visible object cannot be seeing at all. No. Never. So that which sees it.
We know that it's here.
No, now it sees.
It sees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that it is real.
Yes.
And that it cannot be seen. but it is now performing the function of seeing. Nama, whenever it arises, it has to perform function, its own function. For example, each cetasika performs its function, and citta also performs its function of being the faculty of experiencing only. So now it sees, that is the function of this kind of citta.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Instead of thinking in terms of nama and rupa, and what is nama and what is rupa, because the characteristic of reality right now has its own characteristic as nama or as rupa. Nobody can change. This is the way to study Dhamma and to know that it's Dhamma because it's real. Even it's not keen, right understanding yet, but it's the beginning of knowing at moment of seeing. Because usually when we think or when we read about seeing, it's not seeing which sees, it's thinking about seeing, while seeing is seeing too. So there are different levels of understanding that as the one has read about and understand what is meant by such and such word, but not the actual one. While at that moment there is seeing, but while we are talking about seeing, it's not the understanding of the seeing itself, but it's the understanding of the term or the meaning of seeing only. Like now, see, everything is like now. So one can understand one's own panya, understanding, whether how much it grows or how little it grows. It's not easy, but it's here and now to be understood as it is. It doesn't matter how many times and how long it will take, but since there is the understanding, theoretical understanding, it will bring more and more understanding when that reality arises. Like now, it depends on who is understanding the seeing right now, or to just begin to think about it.
And this is the beginning of the development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why some people can become enlightened, because they have listened, they have developed understanding with detachment from life to life, from time to time, until there's no attachment and no doubt about reality right now. Because even now they're seeing, there's doubt about seeing. See? But the understanding will gradually eliminate, very gradual, that one cannot know how it's worn out.
We might be inclined to think that this level of understanding is very sort of intellectual and or theoretical perhaps, and not of much real significance, but in fact it is very necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's because developed awareness is weak that it doesn't appear to be stronger than it is.
So?
So, I think we're very fortunate to have opportunities such as this to consider, about visible, seeing invisible objects.
Maybe we don't have enough confidence that this is the way or this is the only way, because we often hear someone saying, only listening, is that enough? And he thinks it's not enough, but it is, listening and considering. And we don't have enough confidence that this will lead to direct understanding.
Well, we think it should be something more definite, more noticeable than just the weak or faint difference that occurs.
It has to be like this in the beginning. It cannot be other thing besides this at all. when panya hasn't grown yet, it has to be like it is. How many 17 moments? Uncountable.
John, for the past several days, you used an expression that lopa cheats. It deceives, it disguises, and it's what brings us to, or brings people to conclude there is a self. There's this attachment to wanting things to exist and be permanent and have a be an entity.
For example, when one have heard about effort, it seems like Buddha urged everyone to have effort without any understanding, or understanding itself will condition effort according to the level of understanding.
Nina asked Ajahn yesterday about, you know, it's more difficult to study the nama than the rupa. Ajahn said the same thing about the deceiving lopa. Because this guy's kind of difficult when we attach or we try to be, with, you know, ourselves try to go, you know, to understand dhamma or to have study or something. So you remind that you ask Ajahn, you know, the nama and rupa is much more difficult. Ajahn is all deceiving dhamma. She didn't answer directly which one is easier.
She still hasn't. Cheating. But because there's no value, and then my sense is there's no value in trying to proportion the ease or difficulty with which they can be understood, because it'll be according to one's understanding.
And the self is there.
And the self is
there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what will appear at the next moment, so and it depends on the accumulation. So one can say generally, okay, namas are more subtle, but if we have the idea, okay, rupas must be known first, it has to be self-involved, trying to be aware of rupas instead of just being aware of whatever appears at this moment.
Well, the word deceiver,
that's something. In the Satipatthana Sutta at the end, it said 7 months, 7 weeks, 7 days, and people always ask, how is that possible then? Why is it said like this?
But it's short, it can be shorter than that.
Yeah, or longer.
Yeah.
But so it depends. In the sutta.
So it depends for that particular people.
Yeah. But they say
not for everyone.
They say those who apply.
Otherwise, you try very hard in 7 days.
And for people at that time, maybe
they understood so well. For whom?
Those who heard directly from the Buddha.
For those who have ready accumulation to become enlightened in 7 days, or 7 months, or 7 years. Why, for us? No. It doesn't be like that at all. What about just understand correctly? That's all.
Understand?
Correctly.
Oh, correctly, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah.
Even with the internet now, and you can click onto teachings by bhikkhus and very famous ones, it's really hard when you don't know for yourself. They all seem very famous and powerful and respected figures, so it's easy to get confused.
That's why Buddha didn't say anyone or this one will be your teacher after my death and so on. But one should have Dhamma as one's own refuge, one's own guide. Otherwise, you will follow the other when there is no understanding at all, whether it's right or wrong. But when you have right understanding, you know whether what you heard is right or wrong by yourself. if you don't know anything about right understanding of reality right now, and you think of meditation, you might follow easily because you don't know the difference between understanding reality stage by stage from theoretical knowledge to direct understanding and to the penetration of the truth. Yeah.
So those of us that are still confused, really...
And then when you were saying about effort, I sort of feel I should do something.
Something which is right understanding or not.
Something that is right understanding, but how do... it's hard to know what's right understanding or what just... that would be a nice way to go. That wouldn't it be good if that were true? It's hard to know.
So what's the goal? The goal is liberation. The goal is...
With what?
Right understanding.
It would be good if it was just like university. You could study these subjects and get a certificate.
The whole world.
Yes, they do. Questions and you can answer those correctly, that's when you can go on.
What a distinction. Yeah, degree in enlightenment.
And also, it was multiple choice.
Multiple choice. Oh, that,
yeah.
That is not in Tipitaka at all.
Just with regard to the teachings dying, this is just a side point. We had a brief mention about bhikkhus who don't follow proper Vinaya, and of course everyone has all their various stories. You made a comment in passing that if a bhikkhu is not following proper Vinaya, he's not a bhikkhu. He's just like any other person. One may still pay respect to the Sangha and think of the Sangha when one sees such a bhikkhu. Or does it mean that you wouldn't pay respect to that bhikkhu? Or?
Yeah, it's not a rule to do or not to do. But you see that it depends on the understanding and conditions of the very moment. If you do not pay respect to a bhikkhu because of his conduct, for what? To help him to see that it's not suitable for paying being respected. That is kusala. But if you have ill will or ill intention, no metta, then it's akusala. So it's not just do or don't, but it depends on whether what is the intention at that moment, that you pay respect or you do not pay respect.
No one will know from the situation. Okay. Or the, it just depends on the teacher at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. We see a bhikkhu buying something. It depends. Would you pay respect or wouldn't you? Who knows? Yeah.
And it depends at the moment. One may have an idea what one will do. And
at the moment when he does not buy anything, he just sit or walk, we don't know his conduct at all. We could pay respect for the respect of the Sangha, the whole Sangha, but not to that particular one because we don't know his conduct at all. But when one sees he's buying something, why does one pay respect to such the bhikkhu who does not understand the Vinaya and who does not respect the rules of Buddha?
And you made a comment that the one who doesn't, I mean, this is quite an obvious example of not following the Vinaya, and you made a comment that if the bhikkhu doesn't follow the Vinaya, actually he's not a bhikkhu. What about more minor breaches? Would you make the same comment that he's not a bhikkhu if he's not following the Vinaya perfectly?
It depends on his intention as well. Why does he do like that? With no understanding about Vinaya, or knowing just want to do without any respect to the Buddha at all. See, it depends too.
is it sometimes, I think people may pay respect to men in robes, men who have become bhikkhus, whether or not they maintain sila, as paying respect to all of the sangha over
not thinking about any particular. That is kusala citta, paying respect to the whole sangha.
I think about the monks here in this community in Savasthi. They don't have a regular community to support them.
No excuse.
No excuse.
Who can excuse? What the Buddha said, whether this is proper for monk's life, then it has to be like that.
We can't know what they are. Like, for instance, that monk we spoke yesterday, we can think, okay, this monk is such and such for that, and this and that and the other. We don't know for sure what he is. But if we say, all right, we gave him a donation yesterday. So we gave him a donation. If there was dana arising at that moment, and we gave it in terms of dana, then it's fine. And now if he's not a monk and he's going to just spend that on whiskey, say, or whatever he's going to do with it, that's his problem.
I realize that part of it. I'm just thinking, we know from speaking with this monk yesterday, for instance, that you don't go out with the bowls for the Dabat because there's no one giving. So they actually cook for themselves and prepare their own food.
With intention to break the rule for months?
Mm-hmm. With intention to break the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's conditions that put them in this.
No, excuse at all.
So what is our position when we gave money to a monk?
No. Bhikkhu shouldn't receive any money from anyone.
We shouldn't give either.
No, not at all.
I think we sort of knew that, but we had the impression he wouldn't have anything to eat.
Sorry, when you say not at all, you mean we shouldn't
give money
to a monk?
Is it a kusala on our part?
You do not respect the Vinaya at all.
Because we asked the monk, we said we have nothing but money. Is it all right to give you money? And he said yes.
It is up to us to respect and understand what the Vinaya is, not to rely on someone else. So it's up to us to just do what is appropriate. We give inappropriate gifts or we give money, then we are showing a lack of respect to the Buddha.
But what if what would happen to the bhikkhus around here if they had no food? They would go.
You would like
because they don't go out and vintabha because there's nobody to give them food.
Yeah, to have no food, or you'd like him to be born in hell? Yeah,
that's what you're encouraging.
Yeah.
Really?
Really? Track him down. You can do that with metta, see? Helping them not to be born in hell. And to be more respectful to the Vinaya.
Someone else mentioned that you'd made a comment at the foundation recently about, you know, monks who join protests or have upturned bowls, that, you know, they'll just go to hell for not following the Vinaya. So encouraging or supporting in any way is not a kindness.
In India here too, I think that it's not easy to follow the Vinaya, and there are always excuses for them, but actually it shouldn't be that way, because to be a monk is by Vinaya, not by wearing the yellow robe at all. If one thinks that one cannot follow the rule, one shouldn't become a monk. One can attain even anagami when one is lay people. No need to become monks at all.
Or go to live somewhere where the community support the monks.
So should we yesterday perhaps have gone and bought food to give to him? That would have been...
Usually we invite the monks to come to have food. And at Banaras we will offer the food to the monks too, but not giving money at all.
And also, again, depending on the time of day, and you have to consider all these things. You can't offer food in the afternoon.
Yeah, because they can't keep the food for later. Mm-hmm. So
even if they're going to have
just salt. No. So in the afternoon or after midday, you can't offer any.
But really, I feel awful. We really had a hand in assisting someone.
So what monk is, in your opinion, what a monk is? In your opinion, the person who has accumulation to develop right understanding in monkhood, so they know that they can follow the Vinaya. Otherwise, it's quite hard to live. The robber, which is worse than any robber, is the one in yellow robe. It said in Tipitaka.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because
robber worse than any other robber is the one in the yellow robe.
Who doesn't follow the Vinaya.
Because for any robber you can recognize immediately, but for monks you cannot know at all.
Well, it's an interesting decline then about what is happening here.
Yeah. And when we talk about the inclination of the teachings, not just that we do not have any book anymore, but the understanding is the most important thing. When no one understands the teachings, how can we say that there is still Buddhism or the teachings of the Buddha?
You mean even if the books exist,
mm-hmm.
Yes. There's no understanding?
Yeah, mm. Yeah. Even right now, in order to understand the noble truths, they go to the meditation center without any understanding of reality right now. Is that the way to keep the teachings? By not knowing how Buddha explained about realities right now in details, like the Vitijitta and the 17 moments, see?
Are you sure that
me, are you?
It's your intention. Your intention wasn't
that. No, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about him.
But you can't control his.
Yeah.
But he would know.
Which he are we talking about now?
The monk.
The monk. Your monk.
How about talking about the absolute realities? Akusa is common to anyone, no matter wearing yellow robe or not. Akusa is Akusa in the absolute truth.
Yes. Okay.
You respect right understanding or just monk? See?
I understand. I'm getting all caught up in the story.
Even in the Buddha's time, people who were not monks came together and discussed on the teachings, helping one another to understand the teachings. Not necessary to be monk at all. That's the way to have people understand the teachings correctly. That's the way to keep on having the teachings for longer time.
Sujin, yesterday you mentioned about the value of sharing understanding, which is what you were doing with us. That is more difficult than it seems, because it seems like it's easy to share wrong understanding. Like sometimes we think we're talking about the Dhamma, but
we're actually, there's a lot of wrong understanding there. How to share right understanding?
We should share wrong understanding. So study carefully and know that it's right before you share.
So be careful.
Very, very careful. Yeah.
Even sometimes joking, like it's almost like sometimes we are playing, and yes, that it is not necessarily right understanding. That is not being careful.
Like what?
Idle speech.
You mean discussing Dhamma in a frivolous sort of way?
Yes.
Like saying, oh, that's 7 eons in Amici hell. that silly sort of remark.
But that's not actually, or might say, oh, that's your bad vipaka, just talking generally, but that's not actually misleading because everyone understands the context. Everyone knows it's just joking or it's not serious. But if you were instructing a beginner and you were to say, well, every time you utter a falsehood, 7 eons in a Avicii hell or something is the Buddha's teaching, then that is more serious.
That would be less likely. Depending on the level of understanding, it seems like it's very easy to pass on wrong understanding.
That's why we have to consider the teachings very carefully and consider what we say.
And it's not just belief. Whoever says anything, it depends on the listeners to know whether that is the right word or the wrong word. Not just follow.
It seems it takes time. Well, it takes right understanding, and it takes a certain skilled speech to be able to share.
Speech or wrong skill speech?
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes wrong skill speech.
Wrong skill speech would be doing it for the wrong reasons, saying something correct for the wrong reasons. Yes.
But also, I think we have to accept that we are beginners and we're so far away from the Buddha. And I once mentioned to Khunsu Chin something Nina and I discussed about how on DSG we make mistakes often and this kind of thing. And Khunsu Chin was saying, well, yes, she makes mistakes too. We all make lots of mistakes. We show our respect for the Buddha's knowledge, his wisdom, by acknowledging how little we know. And of course it has to be like that. So it doesn't mean that everything we say is going to be exactly right or anything like that.
That's actually a bit of a relief.
And sometimes mana can be a problem because, oh, we feel embarrassed because we made a mistake or it's written something and someone points it out. But that's just conceit, the mind's about that, thinking of oneself. Again, they're just dharmas. And again, it's also up to the listeners to consider and check again. Khunsu Chin always says, whatever she says, check for ourselves in the text, check and check again.
Sort of related to that, this is picking up on a point that we didn't finish in an earlier discussion about the disappearance of the teachings.
Yes.
And you were wondering about whether the teachings disappear from everywhere before the appearance of a next Buddha. Do you remember that?
Yes,
point
I do.
When you were going
I picked up that you said, and I know I'm repeating a conversation we had, but I guess I still haven't understood. The teachings will disappear in this realm, the human realm, first. And then must they disappear in the other realms before?
I think that we, it doesn't cover the other realm at all. Just this world is enough to think about.
When we speak of the human realm, are we speaking of the human realm just on Earth? Or what if five universes over there were other humans? Would the Dharma disappear from there? This is a silly question.
We're talking about this world. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you talking about life on Mars?
So other universe, solar systems.
What about the life of devas, much more longer than human beings' life? So when it died, we're at 5,000 years after his death. What about the life of Deva? Longer than that, those who have right understanding. See? So it's not just follow the word, 5,000.
And when we read about when the teachings die out at the end of the Sasana, and then all the relics come together and this kind of thing, this is referring just to this realm only.
Mm-hmm. Even the relics in heaven must be disappeared too, completely, in Devatin sense. Yeah.
Before the next...
Yes, all pieces come together.
Yeah, before all pieces come together. So in other words, the answer is the teachings must die out even in the Devatin.
No, only the tattoo.
Only the relics.
Only the relics.
Another meaning of tattoo.
Yeah.
Yes. I was adding that to the list.
Right.
The relics.
Tattoo has a lot of meanings.
We have to leave earlier so that we reach earlier too. I think it takes a long time to go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.